flat all week. There's been a lot of cleaning, and then this morning I was cleaning 10 minutes before I was supposed to be here, and then went to rush out, the car didn't start. So it's been a lot this week, just little things. You know those little things that happen, that they start building up, and the next thing you know you're overwhelmed by everything? That's what this week feels like. So I think I had spoken a couple times before about fasting and the importance of fasting and how scriptural it is. And then we have this month of August, this beautiful month of August, where we have said that we will take this month and pray and fast. And I appreciate we can't all fast in the same way, but a fast is really a sacrifice where you set aside something you would do for yourself and devote that time and give it to the Lord. So I would encourage you to find what that thing is for you, whether it's you give up breakfast or you give up a cup of tea, but something, and maybe not a cup of tea, that feels really harsh in this country, but something where you would, something you would do, but you consecrate that time to the Lord and pray. And so as a body, as Mercer Baptist Church, we're going to be in one accord and in unity for this month about what we're praying for. And I've written down some things that I think we should pray about, but I think through this month, if anyone feels there's anything they think I've missed or that they think the Lord is directing us to pray for, speak up. I think say something so we can all kind of be in one accord. So the things that I've listed for us to pray about are obviously this church. For the building, the maintenance, making the floors look amazing, all the work. Ruth has encouraged us, you know, pointed out things that we need to get done. So I think we need to continue to pray for this building, that it lasts us as long as we need it to. The other thing is, I think for our leadership here at church, you know, I don't think any one of us here is not a leader. We all contribute. We all do things in our own unique way. And I think we need to continue. We need to pray for each other. We pray for the deacons. But pray for all of us. We're all leaders here. And we're leaders in this community. The other thing I put down is Merston. We need to pray for this town. And I think now that the hub is closed, we need to pray that there is something that moves in that can do good for the community, to provide service or support. And the other thing is the ministries that we want to support and get into. So a big question, and today's message is going to be on the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer, it's a template, it's an outline of how we should pray. And there are five things. So if you hold up your hand, there are five fingers. Hopefully everybody has five fingers. Or find a hand that has five fingers. But there are five things that we should be able to remember when we're praying. And I feel like God has to obey. I didn't give Alex any of the scriptures. But we've all prayed. We all know how to pray. You just talk to the Lord. It's a conversation. And sometimes I've had the Lord answer my prayers. Sometimes he hasn't answered my prayers. Probably more than not, he hasn't answered my prayers. But the thing during that time when I have been praying, he's turned my heart and he's aligned it more to his will, which is the beautiful thing about prayer, because it's just communion with him. If I didn't talk to Alex, we would have a very bad marriage. A very bad marriage. It would be non-existent. And that's what prayer is. It's just talking to someone you love. So the verse we're going to read today is Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go from verse 5 to 14. I'll give out time to get it up. And we all know this. We know the Lord's Prayer. I remember learning it in school when school used to let you recite the Lord's Prayer. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if I forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it's just, these verses are amazing. It tells us exactly how to pray. And it tells us not to just go on and say words after words, not to stand on a corner so it can be seen, so people think we're so spiritual and holy. That's not what the point is. I don't stand on the corner and make out with Alex so people see how much I love him. We don't need to do that. It's not something you have to put on a public display. It is a very personal relationship. It should be sacred. So before I dig into the outline, I was going to say, what are the things that stop us from praying? And I listed three things, and I can tell you that I have struggled with every single one of these. The first is overconfidence. I just don't think I need to. I'm doing so good in life. And it's not at the forefront of my mind that I need to depend on the Lord. And I have Luke chapter 22, if you turn there, verse 31 to 34. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you. Go to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. When Jesus told the disciples at the Last Supper about events that were going to come, they started arguing amongst themselves. Jesus pointed to Peter and said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And we all know how Peter replied, No, Jesus, I will stand with you till the end. I will never deny you. Our lives are busy, and there are plenty of distractions. And this verse reminds us that we may think that we are super strong in the Lord. We may think we're completely devoted, and there's no doubt that we are. But life happens. Pressures get to us. We get overconfident sometimes in ourselves. And we forget to rely on the Lord. And it's easy. It happens. It's very, very easy. And I'm sure we've all done it where we think, I'll pray at the end of the day. I'll pray when I get in bed. And what happens? You get in bed, you get all cozy, you're under the covers, and you fall asleep. That's good. But we need to prioritize sometimes that moment of prayer. So what is the other thing that stops us from praying? I put we're overtired. We're just tired. We're all really busy. We all have regular jobs. We all have lives that are full of other people, families, friends, commitments. We're tired. I'm tired a lot of the time. Alex and I take naps on a Sunday. It's our Sunday thing. It's the best thing. And if we go to Luke chapter 22 again, verse 40. On reaching the place, he said to them, Pray, he is Jesus, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And so I go down to verse 45 real quick. When he rose from prayer, Jesus, and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. The disciples fell asleep. They were with Jesus. They were right next to him. Jesus is praying. If the disciples get tired and fall asleep in prayer, it is completely understandable that we're going to experience the same thing. The other reason we don't pray is we get overwhelmed. And I think everybody here is, with all the things that are going on this week, there is a lot to be overwhelmed by. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot. And it says in Luke chapter 22, Jesus went away. When he came back, the disciples were asleep because of sorrow and exhaustion. They're overwhelmed. And we all know this. When you're overwhelmed with what's happening in life, your mind, you're jumping to all the things that could happen, the different ways it could work out, and you get anxious, and you don't think on anything else but the situation. So knowing all the reasons we don't pray, the Lord's Prayer is the easiest thing to remember to help us refocus and come back. So remember the five things. So I'll read off the five things. It's adoration, it's consecration, it's supplication, it's intercession, and protection. So when I say adoration, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This starts with praising the Lord. When you pray, start with praising the Lord. Lord, you're glorious. Lord, you're beautiful. Lord, you have answered so many of my previous prayers. Lord, you led the Egyptians out of Egypt. You parted the Red Sea. Praise the Lord for the things he's done, for how amazing he is, how marvelous he is. And he's awesome. Awesome is a word Americans love to use all the time. And I am also guilty. Awesome means awe-inspiring. God is awe-inspiring. There isn't much else that is, but God is. And when we get to heaven, the thing that we're going to be doing is praising him. So it's good to get into practice now. Teresa and Doug love praising the Lord. This is their heart. This is their ministry. We should all have that as part of our ministry and in our heart. It may not be something we can do with a microphone because we don't sound as good, but it should be something that's a wellspring coming out of our soul. So when you're praying, start with praising the Lord. Second, verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Start to surrender to the Lord. This is, you praise the Lord, start surrendering to him. Asking for the expansion of his kingdom, for lost souls. The thing that we want more than anything is to see more people know Jesus. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That is the Lord's will. That is his kingdom expanding on this earth, expanding in Merstham, expanding within our places that we work, the communities beyond this town. Because we all go to other places. We all have other things that we do where we spend a lot of our time. Ask the Lord that his kingdom would be known in those spaces. That's important. And the other thing is, we need to pray for the people that are out there presenting the gospel, missionaries, people that are on the street trying to witness to about the power of Jesus. They're out there trying to expand the kingdom. And you know, the Bible never tells us get people saved. It says make disciples. We're supposed to teach people about Jesus. It's not just saying, give your life to the Lord, everything's good. Sometimes you give your life to the Lord, a lot of stuff happens that's not good. We're supposed to teach and make disciples of men. So that's number two. Number three. I do need my glasses. Sometimes I try hard not to. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. This is supplication. This is, give us our daily bread. This is what we need to survive. This is when you express to the Lord the things that you need in your life. Lord, I need my car to start. I need my cat to not be sick everywhere in the house. Lord, I need finances to cover these bills. Lord, I need a flight to this country to see family. These are the things that you personally need. Tell the Lord what you need in your life. So you've praised him. You've prayed for his kingdom. Now you're telling him, Lord, give us our daily bread. We all have to eat. I know I'm suggesting we fast, but we all know that we need to eat to survive. You cannot have a relationship with the Lord if you do not tell him what your needs are. Our marriage wouldn't work if I didn't tell Alex what my needs were. And sometimes I say I don't feel very loved. Sometimes I say I need more time with him. I need quality time. Our lives, our schedule, our work has kept us so busy. We haven't had much time together. And I express that to him. And it's the same with the Lord. You have to express what your need is. And I also know sometimes we don't know what our needs are. It's hard to verbalize and say what it is we need. So just praise the Lord. Pray for the kingdom. And the rest will come. And the good thing is, God knows our needs before we ask. He even says this in verse 8, Matthew 6, verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So that a lot of people say, well, then why do I need to pray? Because praying is what keeps you in relationship with the Lord. It's what aligns you to his will. It's the relationship. None of us here would have relationships with any one of the other if we didn't talk to each other. It just doesn't work. Okay, so that was number three. So number four is forgiveness. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness is huge. I don't think any one of us has forgiven easily. It's not something that always comes naturally. And I keep looking at Alex. But in a marriage, anybody here in a marriage knows sometimes forgiveness is not easy. You don't want to say, I forgive you. You want to hold a grudge. You want to hold it against them. You want to bring it back up and remind them, hey, remember when you didn't take the bins out? And it was pouring of rain and I did it and I just got my hair done? This is reality. And it might sound really petty, but I still have to forgive. And Alex definitely has to forgive me, because it probably wasn't the right thing to say. It wasn't loving. It wasn't kind. But forgiveness is also part of intercession. It's when we stand in the gap. And standing in the gap is between someone that is offended and an offensive person. It's standing in the gap for someone, sometimes for yourself, sometimes for somebody else. But forgiveness is the gateway to push through that. We have to search our hearts and ask the Lord to reveal who we need to forgive and who we may need to ask to forgive us. A lot of the times, both of those things are really, really hard to climb over. And forgiveness isn't a feeling. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. We choose to forgive. And, you know, I don't have a relationship with my mom. I had a very, very tumultuous childhood. And it has taken me years to forgive my mom. I'm 42 now. And I would say it's been an active 20 years of forgiving her. That has not been easy. And a lot of the time, it has never, actually all the time, it's never been a feeling. I've never wanted to. I've wanted to hold on to the pain and the grudges and draw a line and say, we move forward and there's no relationship, but that hurts me. The thing that is better for me is to forgive. And I will say it out loud. And for me, this is what I have to do. I have to say, Pauline, I forgive you. I don't say mom. I call her by her name, and I say it over and over again. And there is a spiritual release. I feel the fingers, the tightness around my heart, my soul. I feel it unrestricting, getting looser. And that's what forgiveness does. And it is so important. And sometimes it's easy to know who we need to forgive. I know I have to forgive my mom. Sometimes I don't always know who I need to forgive, and I need the Lord to reveal that to me, because you harbor things without knowing it. And it's going inward. this part of the prayer. This is when you're asking the Lord to forgive you for your sins. So this is very self-reflective. So I'll recap before we get to the last one. So there's praise the Lord. Lord, you're beautiful. You're so amazing. You're awesome. Consecration, his kingdom. We want to see it expand. We want to see it go through Marston. Thank you, Lord, for people that are out there praising your name, sharing your name. Our daily bread, our supplication. Lord, my needs today, these are real. My cat is sick. I cannot take it anymore. Forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, forgive me for holding unforgiveness in my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for sinning inward. And the fifth one is protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think the thing we sometimes forget is Satan's kingdom is very real. Lead us not into temptation. All of us face temptations. I love to buy clothes. I overshop. Clothes are my temptation. It's a big problem for me. I've told Alex, I will not buy any more clothes for the rest of the year. I said, August is the beginning. I will not buy another thing online. I've deleted the apps off of my phone. And then what do? I get an email and I buy a new jumper. I didn't even last a week. Temptation is real, and I know I'm making light of one of my temptations, but temptation is real. And that takes my, when I'm looking at styles and jumpers and clothes, which I will do for hours, that takes time away that I could be giving it to the Lord. It takes time that I could be giving it to Alex or this community or something else. And I know there are things in our life that we use to relax us, to just kind of unwind. But make sure it's not a temptation. It's not something that is moving your attention, your heart, away from the things that are important in life. The other thing is, and I love this scripture, it's Ephesians 6, and if we turn there, I'll read it out loud. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And Ruth preached on this. He's gone. The man with the armor is gone. But Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything to stand, stand firm then. And then it goes on to the armor. I'll stop there. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. When we're praying at the end of the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. We need to remember Ephesians 6. We need to remember where our struggle is. And we don't overcome a fight against the enemy without prayer. We don't overcome a fight, a spiritual battle, without having the right armor on. So when we pray, we need to pray for the city, pray for this country, pray for our leaders, pray for the prime minister. Pray for those that are making laws, that are changing laws. Pray against attacks on your family, your business, your health. The enemy does not exclude anything in your life that he will not come after. And we have to be aware of that. You know, I have a lot of stories, but I used to live in America, which is why I sound very American. And I was in a really bad car accident. I was driving to work, it was about 7 a.m., and I was driving, my place of work was kind of up in the mountain, and so I was driving on this very narrow road, going around the bend, and I felt my car skid, like, slip. I was like, oh, man. And I tried to correct, and then I felt it slip again, and instinctively, which is not the right thing to do. I hit the brakes. The only thing I knew is do not hit the cement block on the left side, because if you hit that, it's game over. And so I hit the brakes, turned the wheel to the right, hit the curb, and the car flipped and rolled 5 times. The car landed on the roof, and I was driving a big SUV, crushed the car down so it looked like a compact car, and I couldn't get out. The doors wouldn't open, and it's funny, I had this Bible in the car, and I couldn't get out, I couldn't turn the engine off, and I was like, oh, the car's going to explode. That's what happens in the movies. And I'm sitting on the roof of the car, and I'm like, well, I need to call my dad. I need to say I love you one last time, because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to die. So I can't turn the engine off. And I broke the key in the ignition trying to turn the engine off. And so, and I was calm. I was very calm. And so I call my dad, and I'm like, Dad, I've been in a car accident. I can't get out of the car. I can't get the engine off. I just want to say I love you. Some backstory to this is my dad had been in a very serious car accident 2 months before. A lorry had not seen him at a stop sign and plowed into the back of him and, like a slinky, crushed the car. My dad was crushed and trapped in the car. Miraculously, he survived. And his story is there was some brain damage from his accident. All his ribs were broken, his lungs were punctured, his kidneys were bruised, his back was injured, and his personality changed because of the brain damage. 2 months later, I'm in a car accident, and I can't get out of the car. So I'm calling to say I love you. And my dad wouldn't say goodbye, he just said, I'll find you, I'll be there. So we hang up, and I'm sitting in the car, and I look out the window, and I see this little tiny man. I see a Mexican guy standing outside the car. So I start knocking on the window. And I'm like, I don't understand, why is this guy not coming over to help me? And he puts out his hand just like this. And I couldn't hear him, but I knew he said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I was like, that is so strange. Why is this man not helping me? I don't know how much time passed away, and then, or passed, a girl that I worked with was coming around the bend, and she saw the car. She did not recognize the car because it was so crushed, but she recognized that I had Texas license plates on the car. And she said, that's Haley. Mm-hmm. She runs up to the car, she manages to get the door open, and she drags me out. Later on, she tells me that when she arrived at the car accident at that scene, there were two men standing on both sides of my car. God is good. And they put their hands up. She said, oh, I know her. I know that person. I know Haley. And they put their hands up and they said, it's okay, don't worry. She said, but by the time I got you out of the car and kind of down to the road, the guys were gone. And she goes, and actually, when I think about it, there wasn't even a car. She goes, yours was the only car. These guys were there, and then they just disappeared. To this day, I believe those were angels protecting me. And they looked like Mexicans. And they looked very friendly and nice. And I know that our battle is not against flesh and blood. I know that for whatever reason, during that time, something was going on, and the enemy was trying to take out my family, kill my dad, take out me. And I'm telling you, the only thing that gets us through situations like that is prayer. And I know our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against things we don't see. I didn't see what was probably pushing my car, trying to get it off the road, but I did see the angels protecting me. And they were there, and they were battling. So I say that to remind us how important it is to remember to pray. It's 5 things. Praise the Lord. Pray for his kingdom. Ask for your needs. Ask for forgiveness. And remember that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. we get under attacks, we get tempted, and not everything is a car accident. Not everything is that serious. But the devil works in very, very sneaky ways. And the only thing that will keep us alert and awake and strong and courageous is if we're praying and we're focusing on the Lord. So, we all know the Lord's Prayer probably off the top of our head is the thing that we can recite without ever looking at the Bible. Remember that this week, this month. Start saying it over and over. And start getting really familiar with the outline and the structure of this prayer. And remember five things. We will have five fingers on our hand. But it's important for us to pray with some structure. And I think this month, as we're praying for Merced, we're praying for this church, we're praying for this building, we're praying for the community. We're going to be in one accord, like the disciples were in the book of Acts. They were in one accord before the Holy Spirit hit the upper room. They were always in one accord before mighty things happened. That needs to be us. We need to be in one accord. So that's my message for today. And then I was going to say as well, and I've been praying about what we should study and where we should go next. I talked to Ruth, and she said, look at Jeremiah. And the Lord has led me to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And I think everybody knows Nehemiah. He rebuilt the wall. Ezra started doing that before him, and there was someone before Ezra. But I've been reading through Nehemiah, and it's reminded me of this church and of us. We are regular people. Like, Nehemiah had a regular job. He had a secular job. He was in, the service, hospitality industry, serving the king. But he took time away to go rebuild the wall. And I think that's what we're doing as a community. We're trying to rebuild. We're trying to fix things. We're fixing this building. We're doing things. We're not just spiritually asking for direction, but we're trying to fix this building to keep it going because we need a place to share the Lord and we need a place to teach and make disciples of men. And with things like the hub closing down, we could say this is a great opportunity for people to start coming here. There could be something more that we could be doing here in this building. We have new carpet now. We're doing all these repairs, and this is not for nothing. So it's maybe an opportunity, something we can pray about. And I think the other thing is, we're in agreement contractually with someone about building. We either need them to release us from that so we can find another partner, or we need them to start moving that forward. Doesn't matter that the interest rates are high. Doesn't matter that we're in a recession. God, that doesn't bother God. That's never even on his mind. So we need to pray for direction on what we're going to do for this building because we are a pillar in this community that needs to stand through years and centuries, decades, centuries. We've already been in Merced 60 plus years. How long?
1874.
We don't want that to end. And for our ministry to be strong and people to know us, we do need a building. We just need one that we can use that's not going to fall down. So, we have our things to pray about. We have the month of August, which is going to be beautiful. And I recognize that we're all going through stuff as well in our personal lives. And I would not be surprised. Prepare yourself for this to be a tough month because we're all praying and we're trying to align ourselves to the will of God. The enemy will not like that. So put on the armor of God. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for marriages, relationships, jobs, our health. Because things will happen when you start praying and interceding. The enemy comes for you. Good thing is, we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. And Revelation tells us that we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony. And we all have testimonies. And I think for the next couple Sundays, it'll be really good for us to share our testimonies. And remember where the Lord has brought us from and to. And he's continuing to. So I'll close in prayer. Lord, we love you. We praise your name, Lord. We thank you so much that you have given us tools to understand how to act, how to live, how to pray, how to praise. We thank you, Lord, for the Psalms that are beautiful examples of praise and prayer to you. Lord, we know that you are a banner over us, Lord, that you are a banner over Mercer. And Lord, I just ask that you give us direction, Lord. Give us direction to how to expand your kingdom in this town, in this community, Lord, where we all live. Lord, help us pray for that. Lord, that it would be on the forefront of our hearts and our minds when we even go to the co-op, we go to the shops, Lord, that we would be praying for this community, that they would know you. And Lord, we ask too that you would show us any sin in our lives, anyone we need to forgive or ask for forgiveness from, Lord. Help purify us, Lord, during this month, Lord, that we would be able to come before you with clean hands and a clean heart. And Lord, there are many needs just within this building. All of us, Lord, are going through things in our lives. Lord, help us talk to you naturally, Lord, about what our needs are, what it is we need, how we need support. Because, Lord, we know that when we pray, you always listen. Your ears are never closed. And, Lord, above all, Lord, we ask for protection. I ask for protection over everybody in this building tonight. I come against the enemy that we're trying to attack, trying to distract, trying to tempt. And, Lord, we thank you that you hedge us in with your protection, that you send your angels, that you give them charge over us. And Lord, we thank you that in all things, if we trust you, you direct our steps, Lord. Lord, I just pray that this month, by the end of this month, Lord, we would have a clear vision, that we would be in complete unity and alignment with your will of how we move forward with this building, with our leadership, in this community, with our ministries, Lord. And we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.